Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm going to read, if I'm able to, with my Bible here with the wind, James chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. We are talking about transforming community. James 5, 1 to 6. Hear the word of the Lord. Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of the terrible trouble ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers from whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest their fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury and satisfied your every desire. You have fattened yourselves with the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. Eddie, can you come on over here and grab my Bible so it doesn't blow away? Thank you. All the pages are going crazy on me. Thank you so much. Well, we are, as I've said, are in the middle of a sermon series, Transforming Community. Here's what I want to tell you first and foremost. I am deeply concerned because we are tempted in the middle of this moment to move in what I call a survival mentality. And we are not, as a church, ever to be in survival mentality. I lived in two cities that for a season were in survival mentality, the city of Baku and the city of Detroit. And I understand why survival mentality is critical depending on what you're facing in your particular life. But I would say to you that as the church of Jesus Christ, we are not to be in a survival mentality. We are to be a church that's on mission. Can I get an amen? What you need to understand is that although things have changed and things may not look the same as they were before this pandemic hit, the one thing that will last until we see that sky split and Jesus comes back on his white horse, it is simple, that the church will continue on in mission. If we are going to be a transforming community, we will do it on mission together. And that mission... Test? Are they shutting me out? All right. All right. I knew I was on some good point, but I have no idea where I was. Maybe it's age, nonetheless. We are to be on mission, and as we are on mission, that is simple. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have your life perfect. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. We're to be on mission that is simply just love the people of the world. You know, the early church got this. They were under a lot more difficult times than us. And God added to their number daily those being saved, it says in Acts chapter 2. What I want you to understand is that I don't want to just read about the daily conversions and people coming to Jesus. I want to see it with my own eyes. Anybody else? I know that it said in Acts 2:41 that after Peter preached a sermon, that there were over 3,000 people that came to Jesus in that moment. Do you know what we call that? We call that revival. When the Spirit of God falls down on men and women's hearts in such a way that they know that they know that they know they must come into a relationship that is real and authentic. God is calling us not to live in survival mode, but to be missional in what we're supposed to do. And that mission is simple: love the people of the world. We're not to love the system of the world, but the people of the world. That is biblical. John said, do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has or does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the one who does the will of the Father will live forever. So we do not love the system of the world, but as we're on mission, we love the people of the world. Who do we follow but God, our our Father, Abba Daddy, because he said in John 3:16, God so loved the who? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God is telling us today, church, that we are to rise up, and we know that the hope of the world is truly that we love them so much that we will give, love them so much that we will sacrifice, love them so much that we will align with God in whatever he's calling us to do. We will grow as a community when we are on mission together. Jesus told us this. We hear this verse often, so let me paraphrase it in a different way. Jesus said to us clearly that the peoples of the world are looking. They've been looking far and wide. They've been looking to the left and to the right. They've been looking to politics. They've been looking to their jobs. They've been looking to their money and their position and their pleasure, even to their family units. And what they have found is that none of it, as not a single one, will ever provide for them. They are ready for truth. And it's time for the church in this moment to rise up and to be the church to show people and drop the stones and stop judging people for what, where they are and what they say and what they do. The Jesus that I follow is a Jesus that says, come as you are. Come with all that you've got, baggage and all included. And allow me to do what only I can do. If you believe that this afternoon, would you say amen? I remember when I was in college, and when I was in college, I began to have this great love for the church. And would you repeat after me if this is from your heart? Can you say, I love the church? Yeah, I love the church. When I was preparing to be a pastor in the 80s, all of the mega pastors were starting to fall off all over the place. Scandal from money to sex and everywhere. And all of a sudden, I started to write on a piece of paper, what would the church look like? What would I want the church to be if, in fact, one day God would allow me to be a pastor? What would that actually look like? And I'll give you a few of my thoughts that I wrote about 30-plus years ago. If I'm going to pastor a church, I want a church that is a sending church. That's a church that's willing to send their sons and daughters to finish the mission. I want a church that is a compassionate church, a church that's willing to be there for all the messiness of life and giving people exactly what they need. I want a church that's a giving church, that's willing to use their time, their talent, and their research resources. I want a church that is an urgent church, that isn't complacent, isn't apathetic, and realizes that the time is very, very close. I want a truth-guarding church that isn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We will stand with our last breath believing that this is the truth that we will hold on to. This is the type of church in which we have here at KCC. This is the type of church that we are striving to be. I'm asking us to understand today that as we do transforming community, that we will do it on mission by loving the world. The hope of the world is the church, even with all of her flaws, even with all of her struggles, even with all of her issues. God has chosen to use us. He will give us the reason why when we see him face to face. All we know, he has chosen you and he has chosen me. So how should we respond to this world? Let me give you a couple of thoughts this afternoon before you get on your way. Number one, I would say to you, let's not just talk about it. Let's show the world that we love her. Let's show the world that we love her. Would you repeat after me? Say, give us your love, Lord. Say it again. Give us your love, Lord. We realize that this is our moment, church. This is our moment, whether we will be distracted or whether we will get on mission. People say to me over and over again that they have learned a lot during this pandemic. There's a lot that now they realize I was too busy, I was too engaged with my work, and et cetera, et cetera. Let me give you a warning straight up. As soon as this stay-home mandate is finished, you will be tempted to be more busy than you've ever been before the pandemic started. That's the way the enemy works. We need to ask the Lord to give us exactly what we need so that we will not be distracted and take our moment as a church to show the world that they are loved. They are dying for somebody to see them, to recognize them, to notice them, to value them. It is our finest hour, church. And the reason why I read James chapter 5 to you, it was a warning call to the church. It was a warning call to us that says this: if in fact you have made your effort about riches and about gain, you will realize it will take you down a road. This is mixed paraphrase of James 5:1-6. It will take you down a road that you do not want to go. It will enable you to have relationships you do not want to have. It will cause you to do things that you never thought were possible for you. And it will be in those moments that you realize you've gone after false gold, that you realize it will never do and deliver the way you thought it would. And this also for the church has seeped into our mentality. And this will change our focus if we truly are a part of James 5, 1 and 6. It will get us off the mission. What you need to recognize this afternoon, Jesus clearly said to us about James 5, what does it profit any of you out there in that parking lot if you gain the whole world? If you have it all, what is it for you? And then you forfeit your soul. Let's put it into perspective today. We have more gifts and more talents and more resource in this country than the rest of the world. Is it because God loves us more? Absolutely not. The United States is only 5% of the world's population. It is a blessed nation. But we consume 25% of the world's energy. One American alone consumes as much energy as 370 Ethiopians in one day. It puts it into perspective why God has given us what he has given us. Is it to hoard for ourselves or is it to show the love of Jesus? Jesus told it to us this way. He said in Matthew chapter 25, when that day of judgment comes, I will separate you all the way the shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. I will put the goats on my left and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And he will say to the sheep on his right, come to your inheritance, which was prepared before you long and before you were born, before the creation of the earth. And the difference between the sheep and goat is stark, but it is clear. It was simple that they knew the difference. The ones who said they loved God were the ones who showed others how to love God. And they were well able to love others. And they were to care for those who were sick and care for those who were in prison and care for those who need food. This was Jesus's mandate to us. And I'm saying to you today, church, that we are moving in that direction even more so. It is my passion that as we walk out of this pandemic, that we actually engage this community around us in ways that we have never communicated and engaged them before. God is going to allow us to take this hour. Do you know over the last weeks, we've had over 5 blood drives, and we have had over 159 of you come and give pints of blood, which has been able to save over 459 lives. Can I get an amen, church? We see in the early church in Acts chapter 4 that there was need there just as there is need today. And people started selling what they had and they gave up something so that they could be resource for others. And they had no needs amongst them. So what does this say to you and I on this Memorial Day 2020? It's very simple, my friends. If we're going to show the world that we love them, we must decide, is our message more important than our stuff? Is our message more important than our stuff? Isaiah tells us that on the day of the Lord, Isaiah 61, that we will see that God will care for the poor and we will be able to care for the prisoners. Our day is now, friends. God is calling us to show the love of Jesus. If you believe that today, would you say amen? Let me give you the second point today. Not only do we show the love of Jesus, we share with the world the message of forgiveness. The message of forgiveness. Would you repeat after me? Say, thank God I'm forgiven. Is anybody thankful today that they are forgiven? I assure you that I would not be standing on this platform that if I did not believe 100% that God has forgiven me every deed, every thought, every action. And the scripture says he is from the west, no longer to be remembered any longer. He has taken my and made my sin as though it were red like crimson and made it white as snow. That is freedom, my friends. And for those of us who've experienced this freedom, I would say to you, our greatest moment is now. Our world is seriously lacking forgiveness. We have a moment in history which the church can shine. Ahead of us is going to try to divide us. The presidential election will try to divide the church. And I say in Jesus' same? No way. We see in our society people fighting over this and that. We see the loss of civility. We have the moment where if I disagree with you, then I'm your enemy. We have no tolerance whatsoever. It is the church's finest hour to stand up and share this thing called forgiveness, and it is our moment. Scripture tells us clearly that Jesus said in Acts 1:8, and I will give you the ability to share this forgiveness. I will give you power and your family, second with your neighbors, thirdly in your community. But it's supposed to go from there to all of the world. It's not an either or, it's a both and, my friends. We see clearly that Jesus told us that we are to go to all the world and share this message of forgiveness. And Romans 10 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What are they saved from? They are saved from the pit of hell. Revelation 20:15 says it is a burning sulfur. It is not an imaginary thing. It is a real place where you do not want to go, and you don't want your worst enemy to go there. It is forever. Luke chapter 16 says Lazarus went there and he cried out to God, please send a messenger to my family so that they will turn to you and have forgiveness, for they will not go here. But Romans 10:14 says they can't believe unless they hear. We are now called by God to rise up, to be the church, to not only tell people that they can be forgiven, but to demonstrate it. Once I am forgiven this way between God and me, then I'm able to have the capacity to forgive others. You can't go out and buy forgiveness. You can't fake forgiveness. You can't say you're forgiven and then show me that you don't. It's got to be demonstrated by the life which only comes from God. We do not have the capacity to forgive. Our pain is too deep. Our hurt is too wide. Our struggle is too difficult. It only comes once we have been forgiven that we truly then can forgive others. And he has said to us, we are to be the messengers of that. Verse 14, how can they hear unless somebody tells them? People say to me all the time, how do I know what God is calling me to? God is calling you to be a messenger, to be a missionary, to wherever you are, to this message of forgiveness. Some of us are called to be here in the West Michigan area. Some of us in the near future are going to be called internationally to the peoples of the world who have not heard. We've got half of the world's population who have never heard of this forgiveness. If it's not now, then when? If not us, then who? And I say it is now and it is us. God is refining us. He is taking us through the fire to put us back on what really is important. And I'm saying you today, if we live out a community of forgiveness, God will enable us to share with a dying world. Can somebody say amen? Let me give you my final point this afternoon. Not only do we show the love of Jesus, not only do we share the message of forgiveness, we believe in this so much. Thirdly, is that we have to sacrifice for the world. Would you repeat after me if you're able? Say, let's give it all for Jesus. One more time, let's give it all for Jesus. One of my verses that I see in Romans chapter 8 says clearly, I consider that my present struggle, anybody with me, you out there, church, my present struggle is not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in me. We've got a virus going on in the church today that is more potent than corona. It's a word that I've created and been saying from the platform since I've been here. We've been drinking this Kool-Aid for a long time, and it has infected most of the church. This virus is called easyism. Easyism, we are addicted to it. We want to take the road of least restriction. We want to make it so that we can just coast through life. When we get engaged with this thing called easyism, it's all about me. It's self-focused. It's selfish. Others sacrifice. Are you serious? There is no way, no desire, no compassion. And we need to stand up today and realize that if we truly have been forgiven, if we're truly going to share the love of Jesus with a dying world, we're going to have to sacrifice. If I'm going to follow the one who is my leader, the one that I believe is the Alpha and the Omega, he said to us clearly, they did not and they do not like me, they will not like you. They hate me, they will hate you. They do not love me, they will not love you. He gave us this because he loved us, to give us hope in the middle of all of this. But what we do is what he did. When they hated, he loved more. When they were mean, he gave more kindness. That was the Jesus that we follow. That's the Jesus that he's calling us to do. How do we renounce this? We pray and we join God. How do we join God? We pray a simple prayer, but a dangerous one. A prayer that simply says this: God, break my heart. Break my heart. And once our hearts align with his, the rest is history. I'm reminded of John Hyde, a missionary years ago in the country of India. He was deaf in one ear. He was not productive in the classical sense of what a missionary is. But he had a passion and he was willing to sacrifice. And one day he realized God had said to him that all of our efforts are for naught. So he started to pray an incredibly dangerous prayer. He got off of easyism. He went to India and he said, Lord, I'm going to pray every single day that you allow one person to come to know you. And if I do not hear of one person coming to know you, I will pray throughout the night. And his prayer was simple: Lord, give me souls or give me death. After 1 year, John Hyde came together with his friends. And they saw God answer his prayer through the many nights that he sacrificed praying. And they saw over 365 people say yes to Jesus. He was so excited about all this, he said, I'm going to sacrifice even more. Year two, we're going to double our number, 365 times two. A year finished. If he did not see that actually occur, he prayed throughout the night, Lord, give me souls or give me death. And after another year, he saw 365 times two. Do you think the story ends? Not at all. He came together again and he sacrificed year three. He said, God, I want you to make it even greater. I pray that we would not be about me. I pray 365 times four. And he prayed throughout that year, Lord, give me souls or give me death. And after the third year, he saw 365 times four. That man lived a short life, but he lived a life of sacrifice, and he saw God do the impossible. I want to be like that. I want to be committed to whatever it takes. What about you, church? Are you in? If you're in, would you say amen? We have example after examples of sacrifice. I'm reminded of Jim Elliot. In 1956, he and four men who went to Ecuador to a hostile tribe who were known for their hostility. It wasn't shortly after they went in to share the gospel with this tribe that all four of them were martyred. They were killed. They had spears thrust through them as they laid in the lagoon. Everybody said, Jim, you are a fool. Why would you sacrifice so much? In his journal they found before his death, he said the following. This is a shout out to us today. Before he died, he said this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep, but to gain what he can never lose. And people said Jim Elliot was a fool. I dare to differ, because after those deaths, Jim Elliot's wife Elizabeth and her children and a group of other people went back to that same tribe, led all of them to Jesus. If you were to go to Ecuador today to the Aqua Indians, you will find a tribe that is followers of Jesus. And the amazing part of the story is that the man, the chief who came to know Jesus, was the man that took the spear and thrust it through the gut of Jim Elliot, was the same man after he met Jesus that took Jim Elliot's daughter and baptized her in that same lagoon in Jesus' name. If that's not what sacrifice is all about, I do not know what is. And I think of Mary Slessor to Africa, Amy Carmichael to India, John and Betty Stamm, who had their heads cut off in China during the Boxer Rebellion. And all of them understood one thing very clearly. They understood Jesus' words when he said that in the last days, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines and pestilence. There's going to be the love of most will grow cold. And I'm telling you that right now, so that when it occurs, you won't be a people that are surprised, but you will be a people of hope, knowing that the days are short. But in the middle of this very difficult moment, that people ask me, are we entering the Matthew 24 days? Are we coming to the end of the age? Is Jesus going to split that sky? Is the trumpet going to sound? It'd be awesome right from this roof, I'll tell you, because I beat you all. I'm a little bit ahead of you up here. But if the sky was split and Jesus came down, that would make it all worth it. But in the meantime, he said, recognize these signs and understand this. In the middle of all of these difficult moments, struggle and pain, the gospel of the kingdom, this is scripture, will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. My friends, this moment as we come out of this thing called Corona, stay at home. I say to you, I cry out to you, I plead with you, let's finish the mission and go home. What do you say? Let's finish the mission and go home, for God has called us. Let's not read about the Jim Elliots or the William Careys or the John and Betty Stams. Let's be living witnesses today. Let's sacrifice for the kingdom. Let me say this clearly to you. In my own life and all that I have done and all the things that I've experienced, you're getting a little snapshot week in and week out. I would say to you, it has never in one moment of my life ever seemed like it was a sacrifice. Because my incredible relationship with loving my Father so far outweighs anything that I would give him. And that is for every single one of us. I'm just grateful that he considers me worthy to be his hands and his feet. The one who is perfect. The one who has loved me when I was unlovable. The one who was there for me when no one else was there. The one who tells me that he will be with me to the very end. The one who tells me that nothing will ever be able to separate me from his love. The one who tells me I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the one in which I follow, the one in which I hold on to. The one that if you were not here today, I would still preach the gospel. I would stand up here for one car. I would stand up here if it were just me by myself, because I believe this thing with everything that I have. And I think it is time that the church actually believes it. Therein lies our dilemma and the question for you today. Do you believe it? Do you believe it today? If you do, look out, world. Look out, world. I would say to you in conclusion, our future may look different. And I can't state to you up here what it's all going to look like. And it may look different, but I would say this to you. The mission will stay the same. We may look different, but look what we're looking at right now. Would you have thought 3 or 4 months ago that I'd be standing on this rooftop preaching to you? I would say to you, the mission stays the same. We will adapt. We will change for the sake of the mission, for the sake of our community, for the purpose what God has called us. And it will make it a lot easier if all of us decide today that we will be water walkers and we will get out of the boat together. So that when the storms arise and the waves come at us and the rain falls and the wind blows, that we know that we are in this together. God never called us to be lone rangers. He never called us to fight this fight by ourselves. He's not excited about superstar Christianity. He's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about the husband and the wife and the person that's going to school, the one that's living out their life. He says to us, it is time to let this little light of mine shine, and together we will do this. That is my message to you today. Simple and clear. If we walk out of this, it's time to show the world that God does love them and they are loved. It is time to show the world that they are forgiven if they ask for it, and we can express and extend that forgiveness to them. And lastly, it is worth the sacrifice, whatever the future holds for us, for we know what is before us, and what is here now is not worth comparing to that moment. So I say this all in Jesus' name. My prayer is that you as a church are ready for some incredibly exciting days. You better hold on. It's going to be like a bronco. The Holy Spirit's going to move. We're going to see signs, wonders, miracles, the power of God. Are you ready for this, church? We don't want to leave anybody behind. I want you to get on this train called the moving of the Holy Spirit. He is doing something fresh and new. I'm just following the leader. How about you today, church? Are you ready to follow the leader? If that is your prayer, would you say amen? Put your hands together and give me a honk. Here's what I want to do for us this morning. We're going to sing in a moment, but I'm going to pray for you. But here's what we want to do. You've been going through some tough stuff, some of you. And here's what I want to offer you. If you're going through some really difficult times, I want you to put your hazards on. And we have staff down there. They'll keep their safe distancing. Roll down your window if you put your hazards on, and they want to pray with you and bless you. You came here for a reason. You could have watched me online. You came because you wanted community. And if you need prayer and you need somebody to bless you, put your hazards on. They'll get to you. But I will pray for us now. And before we do the benediction, we will pray out a song of revival, and we will see God doing something fresh and new. Would you pray with me? Put those hazards on if you need prayer this afternoon. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters. You know each and every individual and what they're going through. Would you give them exactly what they need? Would you provide for them what they need provided for? We pray that your protection would be real. We pray that your power would be evident. We pray your sustainability would give them all that they need. We honor you today. We pray that you would be with those that are sick and those that need your touch. Help us to know how to better follow the leader. Would you show us in the weeks ahead? Whatever you bring our way, we trust you. Help us to truly love the way you called us to do it. We are weak, but you are strong. We can't, but you can. It is impossible for us, but with you all things are possible. We bless your name today. We give you glory. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. And all God's people said, amen.